Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church podcast. We hope that this podcast is used by God to help us all grow closer to Jesus Christ. If you would like to get connected to our church or give to the mission, you can visit our website at thegospelchurch.com. Now for this week's sermon.
Today, we are continuing our series called Back to the Basics, where we are walking through the book of Ephesians. And last week, we came to the turning point in this letter in chapter 4. We talked about how the first half of this book is Paul talking about the theology of who God is. And then the second half of this book is how we should live in light of this theology, in light of who God is, how should we then live? So he structures this book as the first half, chapters 1-3, as the revelation of who God is. And then the last three chapters, chapters 4-6, as our response to that revelation. And as we looked at that passage, we saw that we are called to walk worthy of the calling that we have received, which means that we are to live a life of holiness in Christ's likeness. Now that we are in Christ, we should begin to act like Christ. But that does not mean that we just perform actions because we are told to obey, but instead we saw that belief always precedes behavior. Before God changes our actions, he wants to change our hearts. And when we are so overwhelmed by the truth of the gospel, our actions will be shaped by the gospel. So the one idea that we walked away with last week is that before we walk like Jesus, we must spend time with Jesus. And if we're going to live like Jesus, then we must know him deeply and be a student of his life. And today we are going to continue on in Ephesians chapter 4 and look at a passage where Paul focuses on Christian maturity in spiritual growth. So if you have a copy of the scriptures with you today, and I hope that you do, you can flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 11-16. And as I mentioned, Paul is focusing on this idea of Christian maturity and spiritual growth. And when I think of those things, my mind instantly goes to our nieces and nephews and watching them grow up. If you have children of your own, or if you have nieces and nephews, or if you have grandkids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For Allison and I, we have two nephews and three nieces, and they are all under 4 years old, and they're all at different stages of development. So anytime that we get together, it is pure chaos and a ton of fun. Also, did I mention it's chaos, right? Like, we love it though. It's great when we get together. And like I said, they're all at different ages. So we get to see them all at different stages of maturity and growing up. And like, just this past week, we were FaceTiming one of them. And I was FaceTiming and I saw one of my nieces crawl for the first time, which is awesome. And then right behind her, I see her brother, our nephew. He's running around and he's telling us about his Spider-Man underwear that he's wearing. So while one of them is learning how to crawl, the other one is a little bit older and he's learning what it looks like to have manners, what it looks like to be kind, and that you can't always show people the underwear that you're wearing, even though that they're Spider-Man, right? But they're all at different stages of development. But for all of them, they are maturing and growing up. And what we're going to see in this passage is that as Christians, we are called to grow. We are called to mature. Have you ever noticed how healthy things grow? Whether that be your plants, your children, our emotional lives, our relationship with God, or our relationship with others, they all grow. If these things are healthy, they are progressing, they are moving forward, and they are changing. And that's because healthy things grow. And in the same way that kids grow up and mature and become adults, Christ followers grow up and become more like Jesus. And that's what we're going to see in this passage today. So let us read and see what Paul says about Christian maturity and spiritual growth in Ephesians 4, verses 11-16. And here's what he says. He says this, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Now, as we read through that, you probably heard three words keep popping up, and those three words are build, grow, and mature. If you have a pencil or a highlighter, go ahead and grab that and highlight those words in this passage. Build, grow, and mature. And these words are Paul's repeating to get his main point across, and his whole point is that healthy Christians grow, mature, and build one another up, all for the purpose to become like Jesus. Because of this, some of the most important questions that Christians can ask ourselves, and we should be asking ourselves, have to do with our spiritual maturity. We should be asking ourselves questions like, am I growing? How am I growing? Is maturity evident in my life? Have I been consistently, even if slowly, becoming more like Jesus? So before we jump into the topic today, can I just ask you to stop and reflect on those questions? Because the Bible repeatedly teaches that Christians are supposed to be maturing in many ways, all of which enable us to bring God glory and for us to live out our purpose on this earth. In other words, cruise control Christianity is not genuine Christianity. Salvation is not merely eternal life insurance or get out of jail free card. But instead, Scripture teaches that once we are saved, Christians are to be imitating Christ, loving others like Christ, giving ourselves up like Christ, keeping the commandments of Christ, growing in holiness like Christ, and even suffering like Christ. So, this truth should make us pause and ask ourselves this question. By the grace of God, am I seeing signs of maturity in my life? Am I seeing signs of Christian maturity in my life? And you know, in our jobs, we most likely have others grade how we are doing with performance reviews. And if these are done in the right way, sometimes they're not always done in the right way, these reviews are not done with harsh criticism. But instead, they're done in a way that points out the blind spots in our work and helps prepare us for growth and success in our role. Well, maybe for us as believers, we need to stop and do a personal performance review of how we're doing in this area of maturity. And this is not a time to beat ourselves up, but it is a time to ask tough questions and give honest answers to ourselves and to God. Like, when's the last time you stopped and thought about, how am I doing in my walk with Christ? Is there evidence in my life that I am a growing believer in Christ? Paul himself tells us to do this in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test? So let me encourage you to spend some time, whether that be today or this week, alone with God, and do a personal review of how things are going in your walk with Jesus and your spiritual maturity. Let me also encourage you to invite a trusted friend or two into your life to evaluate how you are doing in your walk with God. And we talked about this often during this series about how the fruit of our lives is the evidence of truly experiencing Jesus in true faith. So maybe invite a friend out to lunch or coffee, and just talk about each of your own relationships with God and also point out blind spots in the lives of each other. And last week, we talked about the vine and the branches and used the analogy of our relationship with God being like that of a garden. We said that trying to live like Jesus without spending time in his word often is like expecting your plants to grow in your garden without water and sunlight. Well, in the same way, if healthy things grow and we want our garden to grow, we want our faith to grow, we need to check the garden for weeds and remove them when they pop up. And sometimes we don't see them for ourselves. We need other people to see them and point them out. So here in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, Paul shares with us four insights about spiritual growth and maturity. Now, these aren't four quick steps to become a more mature believer. That's not how the Bible works, and that's not how Paul writes. But what these are four insights into how our spiritual growth works, and I hope that they will help you in your own walk with Christ and allow you to become more mature in your walk. So let's jump in and look at the first one, which is this, is that our maturity comes from doing the work of ministry. Our maturity comes from doing the work of ministry. This comes right from verses 11 and 12. Notice what Paul says at the beginning of this passage. He says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Now, when Paul begins this sentence by saying, and he gave some, he is explaining how Christ is going to go about accomplishing his goal of maturing his church by giving his body gifted men and women to foster and further growth. Paul's picking up a main thought that he started back in Ephesians 4:7. And if we were to skip verses 8 through 10 and pick up with 11, here's what it would say. He's continuing his thought. He says, now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And he gave these people gifts for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. In these two verses, Paul lays the groundwork for the responsibility that God has given church leaders. Now, if you didn't know this, I work at a company called Lifeway, which is a Christian publishing and resourcing company. And I work specifically in the Lifeway leadership division. And our team is tasked with working with pastors and church leaders to help them understand this calling of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And I think it would be helpful if I shared with all of us what we are constantly reminding pastors and church leaders about this calling. And here's how we would break this verse down for them. And I think it'll be helpful for all of us. That is, pastors and church leaders, our work is not to do all the work of ministry ourselves. The work that we should be doing is the development of God's people under our care. And there is nothing more sacred and strategic in his kingdom than equipping others to grow in their own ministry and to serve in ministry. And God did not intend for his church to be a community with a gifted pastor and staff members who do all of the ministry. But instead, it is designed to be a community of gifted people equipped for the work of ministry. And that is a big shift for how a lot of churches do ministry and function. Because when pastors and church staff do all of the work of the ministry, instead of equipping others, they limit the effectiveness of the church, and they also limit the opportunities for growth for the people within their church. Eric Geiger, who used to be on the teaching team here at the Gospel Church, he sums this up perfectly in his book, Designed to Lead. When he said this, he said, when pastors and church leaders train and prepare God's people for ministry, the result is the body of Christ being built up. Since pastors and church leaders should spend more time equipping than doing, that means they should focus their time on training and developing leaders in their ministry. And we see this in the life of Jesus. When we picture the day-to-day ministry of Jesus, our minds often jump to the big crowds where he's teaching in front of them. But when we actually read the Gospels and look at the life of Christ, what we will see is that he spent more time with the 12 than he ever did in front of the crowds. And at first glance of the Gospels, we might say, well, Jesus spent most of his time doing ministry himself. However, if you look at his 3 years of ministry, a lot happened when the disciples were around. When things happened in front of a crowd, Jesus would actually often step aside with just the disciples, and he would use that as a moment to teach them and equip them for when he was gone. And here's what this all means for us being a part of the church. And this goes back to Ephesians 2. I said this during one of the sermons then, but I want to say it again because I think we have this view of church, how it should function, and sometimes I think we miss it. And here it is that ministry is not meant to be done by just the paid church staff. Ministry is meant to be lived out by every single individual within the church. And too many Christians are missing out on being used by God and being a part of his mission because we think that's someone else's job. You are not meant to be a spectator of God's mission and ministry. You are meant to be a participant. So the job of church leaders is to equip the saints, and the church is not meant to have a few people doing the work of ministry, but instead, we are all to be doing the work of ministry. And here's the big reason why, especially when it comes to our own maturity. We grow while doing the work of ministry. We mature while doing. We grow while doing the work. We see this in the way that Jesus interacted with his disciples. He understood this. And of course, He knows this because he created us. He designed us in this way. So right after he performed a few miracles at the beginning of his ministry, and his disciples, they had witnessed them, he gave them their first big assignment on their own. So they'd seen him do miracles, and now he says, hey, it's your turn to go out. He says this in Mark 6, if you want to go read it yourself. He says, now it's your turn. Go in pairs. So two by two, you're going to go out, and now I am giving you the opportunity to do the work of the ministry. And it says in Mark 6, it says, so they went out and preached that people should repent, and they drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So we see that Jesus gave them the responsibility of doing the work of ministry because he knew he was preparing them for when he would go away. But we also see this idea of growing and learning by doing in adult educational theory and leadership practice with the 70-20-10 principle. Now, one of my buddies, Daniel M., he shares about this principle in his book, No Silver Bullets. And this principle originated with Dr. Alan Tuff in the book, The Adults Learning Projects. And here's what this principle is. The principle states that 70% of our learning comes by doing. So this is informal, on-the-job development that comes through trial and error and growing in experience. So 70%. Then 20% of our learning is through receiving informal feedback from others. So through formal coaching and mentoring relationships. This is primarily development through interacting with others. So 70-20. And then 10% of our learning is through conferences, seminar, and courses or classrooms. This is structured formal education. And this is why math teachers, so 70-20-10, 70% of our learning is by doing. And this is why math teachers, if you remember going into math class, you would go over a concept for a little bit. Your teacher would teach you, and then it was time for you to do practice problems. And you would raise your hand and say, hey, I don't understand this. And they'd come, and there was that informal moment where they would teach you with feedback. But the majority was that you were learning by doing and through experience, through trial and error. And the same is true for our faith. Yes, sitting under biblical and godly teaching by listening is incredibly important for our faith. But where we really start learning and growing in maturity is when we take what we heard and we implement it in our doing and we begin to do the work of ministry and apply it in our lives. Here's what Daniel says in his book. He says, discipling others while being discipled is actually one of the best ways to get discipled. We learn by doing. We grow as a disciple by discipling others. So here's what that means for us. We are missing out on the greatest opportunities for spiritual growth if we are not actively doing the work of ministry. Because we discover the gifts that God has given us when we do the work of ministry. We discover what we are good at while we are serving. We discover areas that we need to grow in while we are doing the work of ministry. And this is why serving is so important. This is why we are constantly urging you to get off of the sidelines and into the game. Yes, we would like for you to serve in the church because we need volunteers to be able to function in our ministry. But even more than that, it's not just a need for being able to function. We actually want you to serve because when you serve, you grow. When you serve, you grow. And I experienced this firsthand when I was in college. I was serving as a pastoral resident at a church plant, and I signed up for this residency, and there was this part of me, this prideful part of me that thought, okay, I'm signing up, and I am always going to be on the stage with the mic, and people are going to know my name. And I was young, I was immature, and I was prideful. And instead, what my role looked like was actually serving others at every turn. On Sunday mornings, I was the first one there for the setup team, just like we used to do at West End Middle School. And then during the service, often I was serving in the kids ministry and I was serving them snacks. I was making sure that their activity pages were ready to go. And then I was teaching them in a large group setting. And then after service, I was probably one of the last ones to leave because I was going throughout the auditorium and I was stacking chairs and I was cleaning up. And I learned so much during this season through serving. And let me just tell you, those are some of my favorite memories of ministry. I grew so much in my walk with God during that time. I realized just how prideful I was. I learned that ministry is more about serving others than having others serve you. I discovered gifts that I didn't even realize that I had. I also learned that kids ministry is one of the most fun and rewarding ways that you can serve. I really just learned so much during the season. I look back on that year and I clearly see that I grew by doing the work of ministry, and I'm so thankful for all that I learned. So if you go through a personal evaluation of your spiritual walk and you feel like you just aren't growing and you become stagnant, let me just encourage you to jump in and start doing the work of ministry. That could be that you are serving here at the Gospel Church. That could be that you're serving in another ministry. That could be that you're serving others in different ways. That could mean that you reach out to somebody else and you say, hey, I'd love to meet up, and we start discipling one another in the mornings. Whatever that may look like, but whatever it is, let me just encourage you to take what you are learning through listening and put it into action by doing, because we are meant to grow by doing the work of ministry. 70% by doing, 10% by listening. What we take in listening and do, we will grow in and we will learn even more. So that's the first insight that we see here. And the second insight that we see about our spiritual maturity that Paul shares is this, is that our maturity is a process. Our maturity is a process. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, he says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Now, Paul's saying here that the goal of maturity is to grow into the stature of Christ, and that means to grow into the height of Christ. The picture that comes into my mind when the height of Christ is the idea of the wall at your parents' house, maybe when you were growing up, or maybe you do this with your kids now, where as they're growing taller, you're marking how tall they are, and just so you can see the progress in their growth, and you can track their growth. And all that growth happens over time. It's not one mark at the bottom and then one mark at the top, but you don't just jump from 3 feet tall to 6 feet tall. It grows in spurts. It happens over time. It's a process. And what I think is helpful, and hopefully it's freeing for you to hear this morning, is that Paul is saying here is that you grow into maturity. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's a process. And actually, it's a process that on this side of heaven is never over or complete. Unlike growing into our height, we never reach the actual peak until we are called home and we are with Christ in eternity. While we're here on earth, living in this fallen world, we will always have room to grow. But as Christians, we are called to grow into maturity, into Christ-likeness. This is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. He's saying that maturity looks like us being transformed into the same image of Christ, and it takes place one degree at a time. It's not all at once. This is why, for me, one of my personal ministry values that I want in my ministry, in my preaching, in my entire life, I want it to encapsulate everything, is this phrase, as that we are all works in progress. We are all works in progress. And here's why that's so important for me. I want to always remember that even among the church, as we are all gathered together, we are all imperfect people pursuing an infinitely, infinitely perfect God. No one in the church has it all together, but we do know the one who holds it all together, as it says in Colossians 1:17. We don't have all the answers, but we know the one who does. This means that as a church, we should understand that spiritual maturity means that we are all starting as spiritually immature. We are all starting as spiritual infants who have major room to grow into the image and into the stature of Christ. This means that none of us should have pride or arrogance when it comes to our own spiritual growth or maturity. None of us should look down on someone else's spiritual immaturity. Instead, we should look to build them up and help them grow into the stature of Jesus. And here's what breaks my heart looking at many churches today, is that we no longer create a welcoming environment for those who are infants in the faith and immature in the faith. Instead, we can tend to view the church as a place where you have to have it all together to show up. It seems that we have forgotten that the church is not a spiritual country club for the mature saints, but instead, it is a barracks for training soldiers, both immature and immature, into the stature of Christ. We are all imperfect. We all stumble. We are all going to mess up, but we make progress. Maturity and growth is caused by our setbacks and mistakes. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from when we mess up. I love the advice that Ray Stedman shares regarding growth in Christ-likeness. Here's what he says. He says, growth is a matter of knowledge plus obedience plus time. We do not need to be discouraged if we find that we are not yet completely like Christ. Some years ago, a button could be seen on the lapels of many Christians. And the button read this. It said, PBPGINTWMY. And when you ask that person, what do those letters stand for? He or she would reply, please be patient. God is not through with me yet. And what a great truth that is. It's not a statement of an unwillingness to change, but of a recognition that change takes time, but it's taking place. The proper attitude for a healthy Christian is an eagerness to grow. And he goes on to say this. He says, I once asked a boy how old he was. And quick as a flash, he said, I'm 12 going on 13, but soon to be 14. And he says, that's the kind of eagerness for maturity we should all have. We do not need to ask ourselves, am I mature? Am I completely like Christ? Instead, we should ask ourselves, am I on my way? Is there progress? Am I growing in the right direction? So please hear me say this, whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or for 1 week, do not be discouraged if you are not experiencing overnight spiritual maturity. Maturity and spiritual growth is a process. We are all works in progress. Let the words of Paul in Philippians 1:6 be an encouragement to you when he said this. He said, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Just as the button read, remember to please be patient. God is not through with you yet. So that's the second insight that we see here, is that our maturity is a process. Now, the third insight that we see is that our maturity leads to wisdom and discernment. Our maturity leads to wisdom and discernment. Paul goes on to say this in verse 14. He says, then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. What Paul's saying here is that our maturity and spiritual growth, we will begin to know the truth of God so much so that we can spot that which is not true. That we have grown in our own understanding of God and who he is so much that when the world tries to lead us astray with cleverness or deceit, we are able to stand firm because we have roots that have grown so deep in Christ and we know him so deeply that we can spot those lies. A great picture of this is how the psalmist describes a healthy Christian in Psalm 1. The psalmist says this, it says, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. And here's what I want you to notice. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bear its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Here's what I want us to see here. When we are firmly planted, we will not be shaken by false doctrine or anything else that Satan is going to throw at us. In the same way that a tree grows tall and strong by having their roots grow deep in the soil, we grow tall and strong by having our roots grow deep in Christ and knowledge of who God is. It's the roots below the surface that keep the tree above the surface, standing upright and strong. And the same is true for our spiritual growth. We must be growing strong below the surface in the unseen private moments of our life. This is exactly what we talked about last week in our pursuit of holiness. It is in the private moments that we spend with God that our public life is transformed. And it's in the private moments that we spend with God that our roots grow deep and keep us strong against the cleverness and deceit that the world will throw at us. So once again, our doctrine matters. Our doctrine leads to right living and walking in holiness, and it also allows us to have wisdom and discernment about what is happening around us. And wisdom comes from being with God and experiencing him. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Our growth in wisdom and discernment comes from fearing the Lord and understanding who he truly is. And when we know who he is, we will spot his truth in the world around us. It's like this. The American Banking Association once sponsored a 2-week training program to help bank tellers be able to detect counterfeit bills. And the program was unique in the fact that never during that 2-week program did these people who were in training, did they ever handle a counterfeit bill. Instead, they handled actual bills, so much so, hour after hour, day after day, until they were so familiar with the true and authentic currency that they could not possibly be fooled by something that was false. And this is how it works for us too. If we spend enough time with God, we will not be fooled by that which is false and not of him. And it goes deeper than just having knowledge about God though. I've harped on this during this series that we can't just have knowledge about God. It must move past that. And wisdom and knowledge, they're both recurring themes in the Bible and they're related, but they're not synonymous. The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. Knowledge, on the other hand, is information gained through experience, reasoning, or acquaintance. Knowledge can exist without wisdom, but not the other way around. So wisdom is putting knowledge into action. It's putting what we know to work. And wisdom comes from experience. This goes back to doing the work of ministry. We grow in wisdom from experience. So the more that we are putting our faith into action, the more wisdom we are receiving from that experience. So we must grow in our wisdom and discernment as we are growing mature. Those happen hand in hand. So that's the third insight that we see. Now, the fourth insight that Paul shares with this is this, and he ends with this, is that our maturity must be marked by love. Our maturity must be marked by love. Paul wraps up this passage with an emphasis on what our maturity leads to, and that leads to love. Notice what he says in verses 15 through 16. He says, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Spiritual maturity always leads to loving others and caring more about others than ourselves. Jesus himself told us in John 13:35, he told us this when he said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. One of the most popular passages that we read at weddings is actually a passage that talks about spiritual growth. You may not realize this, and I want to read you this whole passage, 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you may have even had this read at your wedding, but I want you to notice how Paul is talking about spiritual growth in this passage and growing up. You'll notice it in the later half of the passage. Let me just read this. He says, if I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. And here's, I want you to notice this portion. You'll recognize the language. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. Now these three remain: hope, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke, I thought, I reasoned like a child. When I became spiritually, when I was a spiritual infant and was immature, I did not have love. But when I became a man, I put childish things aside. When we grow up in the faith, we put aside love for ourselves and replace it with love for others. If we do not grow up and mature and we remain like children in our love for ourselves, we will become like the Pharisees, and our knowledge and our faith in God keeps us from actually loving others. And instead, we look down on them because we feel that we are more superior than them. True, authentic spiritual maturity always leads to love for others. And notice that he also says that we will speak the truth in love. Paul teaches us here in Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, to speak the truth in love and to grow in Christ, which makes the whole body grow in love. And this means that sharing the truth with others, but not with the purpose of trying to win an argument, but we share the truth with others to show them that we love them. Yes, it may offend them, but the gospel is offensive. So we should do so by sharing this in love with the purpose of showing them that we care more for them than them not hearing the truth. This means that as you grow spiritually, you'll learn not to avoid hard topics or speaking into uncomfortable situations, but you'll speak into the lives of others, but always with a loving humility and with grace. Because everything that we do should be marked by love, and our maturity must be marked by love. So today, as we close, let me just encourage you to reflect on your own spiritual growth and maturity. It's so easy to just speed through our days and our weeks and not stop and reflect and ask ourselves how we're doing. And what we see all throughout Scripture and from this passage is that healthy things grow. Healthy Christians grow and mature and become more like Jesus. So let me just encourage you again this week to just spend some time and get alone with just you and God and do just a little personal evaluation of how things are going in your spiritual walk. And ask yourself the question, by the grace of God, am I seeing signs of Christian maturity in my life? Am I seeing spiritual growth? And as you're reflecting on that question, remember that our maturity comes from doing the work of ministry. Our maturity is a process. Our maturity leads to wisdom and discernment, and our maturity must be marked by love. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you do not leave us as spiritual infants, and that you also don't leave us as dead in our trespasses and sins, but you make us alive in Christ. And when you do, you call us to grow. You tell us that healthy things grow and that we are called to become more like you. And just as we were talking about the wall of the height of growing into the stature of Christ, Lord, I just pray that we would remember it's a process. I pray that we would remember that it's not an overnight deal, that there's going to be moments where we stumble, where we struggle, where we mess up. And Lord, that is where the cross comes into play, that you offer us grace in the midst of the progress. Lord, we're imperfect people chasing after a perfectly holy God. And we pray that you would remind us often that you give us grace when we don't measure up. But Lord, let us continue to strive after holiness in our lives and become more like you. God, please be patient with us because you're not done with us yet. In your name we pray. Amen.